Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word today for our consideration is found written in Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. So far the text. In Jesus' name, dearly beloved of God, has it ever happened to you that you paid a visit to a restaurant or a cafe, being really hungry, seated by the hostess at your table, studied the menu, and after looking over the options, you reached your decision, and to get that chicken fried steak or those chicken fingers with fries, or maybe a healthy choice, some garden salad. Your mouth watered as you thought about the delicious food you'd soon have on your plate to enjoy. But when the waitress came over to take your order, she said, "Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry, ma'am. We're fresh out of that item." Can be a bit disappointing, especially if you had your heart set on a particular favorite entree. Thank God that when it comes to the food item that's on the Lord's menu for satisfying the hunger of our sin-famished souls, which he serves up to us and for us in the gospel, we'll never be disappointed. There's always plenty to go around. No matter how many times we order, no matter how many people place the order. And that is the thought of today's sermon. There's bread enough for all. I'm going to talk about how that's true for everyone, including those who seem to be those that don't even belong at the table, and how the blessings of God's grace in Christ are received freely, free of charge, through faith in Jesus, the Savior of all people. This text from the evangelist Matthew, you read about a pretty rare occurrence from the life and ministry of Jesus. Matthew tells about one of the very few instances of Jesus actually leaving Palestine and traveling into Gentile territory where the pagan cities of Tyre and Sidon were located. This would be like modern Lebanon, not far south of Beirut, where that terrible explosion happened that you heard about in the news a couple weeks ago. Now, the reasons Jesus decided to travel into Phoenicia, well, he wanted to remove himself from the hotbed of opposition that was brewing against him in Galilee. Recent events like Herod beheading his forerunner, John the Baptist, an attempt by a misguided crowd of people after the feeding of the 5,000, which we heard about in the sermon 2 weeks ago, who wanted to make him their bread king, plus the growing hostility from the fault-finding Pharisees, and because Jesus knew that the hour for him to give his life on the cross had not yet arrived, it led him to leave Palestine for a little while. And another reason was because he had a desire to serve up a nourishing meal for the soul of someone who lived in that region. Our text tells us all about it, how Jesus, as he was walking along the road in the locale of Tyre and Sidon with his 12 disciples, this lady came rushing up to him with an earnest request. Something about this woman being from Tyre and Sidon means that she was a non-Jew. As with the people of Samaria, if you remember the story of Jesus early in his ministry visiting the well of Jacob, and where we're told that Jews have no dealings with Samaritans, it was the same here, that she would have been viewed by Jews as someone you don't want to have any dealings with. And yet somehow, this Gentile woman had heard about Jesus, news of his preaching and miracles without internet or email or news broadcast that made its way all the way up into Phoenicia. And she had come to trust in him as her Savior. So now as he walked along the road, she recognized him and came up to him and placed an order for something to satisfy her soul's hunger. The item that she ordered, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Now, Jesus' response to her petition may be surprising to us. And like the waitress who keeps walking by your table at the restaurant, not even seeming to acknowledge that you're even there. Your coffee cup is empty, your water glass, you want to have some water, some coffee. Jesus didn't pay her any attention. And when she kept calling out, disciples urged Jesus to send her away. "She's being a nuisance, Jesus. Tell her to leave." His next response also might be surprising to us. "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." In effect, saying that the Father had sent him into the world to seek and save first and foremost the Israelite people. And the time for spreading the gospel broader in the world to the Gentile nations hadn't arrived. That would happen after Pentecost. "Sorry, my dear woman, the menu item you're ordering isn't available right now." What a downer. If that had been me, I think that the air would have been gotten out of my balloon, gone right out, and I would have walked home sad and depressed, deflated in spirit. But that's not what we read. That's not what happened. Matthew tells how she continued crying out, kneeling before Jesus, "Lord, help me." And then he said to her yet another surprising response, seemingly out of character for Jesus. "It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." So what do we make of all this? How do we explain this conduct of our Savior and his words to that woman in this episode of his ministry, which appear on the surface to be so uncaring? Well, isn't it similar to the Old Testament story where God came to Abraham and said something rather shocking, that he should take his dear son Isaac and sacrifice him on Mount Moriah, which God did, as we know, to test Abraham's faith, refine it, and make it stronger. And that's what he was doing here as well. He was testing the Canaanite woman's faith to refine it and make it stronger. And when Jesus said, as we heard, it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs, this was actually a subtle encouragement for her and an indication that he was going to be doing something for her. The term dog that Jesus uses here in our text, and in Greek there are two words for dog. It's not the dog who's a wild, mangy street dog prowling around on the streets trying to find something in the garbage. But he uses the word for dog that people would keep in their homes as cherished pets. He was reassuring her that though she was a Gentile who didn't belong at the table, so to speak, of God's people, because she was a Gentile, she was right to come to Jesus with her request. For even though pet dogs do not sit at the table along with the children, they are able to enjoy the food morsels that fall, either by accident or in many cases which the master intentionally drops the food treats for them to gobble up. So even though the time for spreading the gospel far and wide in the world to the Gentile nations hadn't yet arrived, Jesus still needed to give himself to his mission as the King of the Jews at the cross, as the scriptures foretold, did not mean that Gentiles were excluded from the blessings of salvation. And it seems like the woman caught on. She said in humble faith, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs, the little puppy dogs, the pet dogs, eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." One of the teaching points, the main teaching points in this story for us, dear friends, is that even though we did not belong at the table of salvation, since we were not part of God's people, the Jews, we are Gentiles too. Yet we may praise the Lord that his son Jesus came to seek and save us. Jesus says in the Good Shepherd chapter, "I am the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep, am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep, and other sheep," us, "other sheep who are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." Jesus came for all sheep. Bring us also into his flock. Today, we hear, of course, a lot about social justice, don't we? People are urged to be accepting and to treat others equally, no matter what is their race, their skin color, their cultural background. The sad reality is that time will never come in this imperfect world of ours where there will be perfect social justice. Isn't it wonderful to know that when it comes to our relationship with our Heavenly Father, our being loved and accepted by him, it does not matter what our family heritage is, our physical ancestry, or our ethnic origin. The Bible says, "All have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. We are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We all deserve God's temporal and eternal punishment by our many transgressions against him in thought, word, and deed. And all are saved by grace through our glorious Savior. Justified, the Bible says, declared righteous freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. His precious blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation are there for all. Always on the menu, never running out." John put it this way in his second epistle. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. That leads us into the second part of the sermon, to this thought or this prayer that we want to have, that the bread of life that Jesus came from heaven to supply for all, for their soul's nourishment and their eternal happiness, be received through faith in him, the Savior of all. At the end of the story, after the woman's persistent pleading and continued humble supplication on behalf of her demon-possessed daughter, after Jesus said to her, "It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs," and she said to him, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table," then he answered and said to her, "Woman, great is your faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. This story is also included in the Bible because the Lord wants to use it to bless us and to encourage us to have a similar faith, a faith that holds tenaciously to his gospel promises, even when it seems like the Lord is turning to us a deaf ear, to know that where our sin abounds, his grace, yes, abounds much more. And as mentioned, the wellspring of his mercy, never going to run dry. He says to us, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never be thirsty. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me will never drive away." So as we come to him in humble repentance and faith, we can be sure that he will never fail to pour out upon us the blessings of his grace, bread for our souls to spare, a lot more than crumbs. And then to ask him to bless others with that faith as well. Since there's bread enough for all, that we pray for the gospel's success as we share it with people in our circle of acquaintances, those in our mission fields in America and overseas, all those who, just like us, don't belong at the Lord's table because they're Gentiles, that the Holy Spirit use the gospel to work repentance and faith in their hearts. And a closing thought on the subject, receiving the blessings of God's grace through repentance and faith in Christ, the Savior of all. When that woman came to Jesus on the road that day, pleading for his help, consider how a very important component of her faith, Spirit-given, is that she knew that in doing that, she was not being impertinent. She was not being disrespectful to Jesus by her boldness, but by her persistent cry for help, she was actually doing the very opposite, honoring Jesus. It redounds to his praise when we come to him with our prayer requests with a never give up attitude. Shows that we trust his mercy. We trust his cross. We trust that he has removed our transgressions from us as far as east is from west. We are his ransomed children. Like Moses in the Old Testament on Mount Sinai pleaded with the Lord and on behalf of the idolatrous children of Israel, the story of the golden calf. Abraham, when he petitioned the Lord again and again on behalf of his nephew Lot, that the Lord would spare him from the destruction of Sodom. Or Jacob at the river Jabbok on his way back from his uncle Laban's, when he wrestled with the Lord there at the ford of the river Jabbok, refusing to let the Lord go until the Lord blessed him. These people of the Old Testament and the woman in our text were not being too forward with Jesus, nor presumptuous. They were actually demonstrating beautifully the faith which the Spirit of God had graciously kindled in their hearts. And so, when you come before the Lord with your petitions for yourself on behalf of your dear ones, do it boldly, do it persistently, knowing that this honors Christ your Savior. It glorifies your Lord when you place your order for grace at his gospel table with a trusting heart. When you say, "Other refuge have I none, hangs my helpless soul on thee. Leave, leave me not alone, still support and comfort me. All my trust on thee is stayed, all my help from thee I bring. Cover my defenseless head with the shadow of thy wing." Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold with your Spirit.